Good morning. Well, the last few weeks we've been a summer to know God better, reading through Isaiah, and we're heading in about the chapter 40s of Isaiah. And if you've noticed, the first 39 verses, you know, it talks about judgment and captivity and fear and the children of Israel, the ones chosen by God for the special mission in the world, would be captured and forced marched into captivity far away from home. Many would lose loved ones in the savage conquest. Most didn't even know if they would ever see their homeland again, and they would feel abandoned and cut off from God, prisoners and foreign. So the first 39 chapters are kind of like with trouble and strife, but then God began to send comfort. Let's start with Isaiah 40, verse 1. He says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." And then we go on to Isaiah 43. God speaks to those who were carried away in bondage. So let's read Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." The key verses I'm going to talk about in those passages is verses 6 and 7, where it says, "I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends. Everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." God says, "I've created who is called for my glory. I have created them for my glory." There's that word, and we're going to hear that word a lot today. God's word speaks of the word glory 300 times. About half of those are in the Old Testament and the other half in the New Testament. But this word glory, this means that when God says he made us for his glory, it does not mean he made us so that we can become more glorious in himself. Instead, it means that he created us to display his glory, that is, that his glory might be known and praised. This is the goal of God with which we must be aligned in our hearts and actions. The first time we ever see the word glory or see God's glory is in Exodus, and the next time then it's all through the whole Bible, and the last time we see it is in Revelations when he talks about the new city of Jerusalem. The Bible says the city has no need of sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. Almost from cover to cover, God speaks of his glory. God's glory is tremendously important to him, and since God's glory is important to him, it should be important to us. But what is God's glory? Have you ever thought about what a cloud can do? It can be fog, a mist, a shower, a heavy downpour, sleet, hail, snow, a tornado, a twister, a typhoon, or even a hurricane, all from a cloud. This phenomenon of nature can put the fear of God in any weatherman. I don't think the Weather Channel can do anything about what God chooses to do with his clouds. God is God. There is none other. So what is the glory of God? The Old Testament word picture for glory is weight, something heavy. And God's glory is heavy indeed, something we should never take lightly. Glory is a hard thing to define. It's like the word beauty. We can all use the word beauty and communicate with it, but when you try to reduce it to a few simple words, it's kind of frustrating. It's easier to point to examples of beauty or examples of glory. A sunset seen from the top of the Empire State Building. That could be glory. A perfect performance on the balance beam by a gymnast. That's glory. A perfectly executed 30-foot jump shot with 1 second to go. That's glory too. But the glory of God is more than that. It is the beauty and excellence of his manifold perfection. It is an attempt to put our words, what God is like, into magnificence and purity. It refers to his infinite and overflowing fullness of all that is good. God's glory is the perfect harmony of all his attributes into one infinitely beautiful and personal being. So what is meant by the glory of God? The Bible tells us the glory belongs to God. He tells us God is the Father of glory. The Bible says that Jesus is the Lord of glory. In Psalms 24, 7 and 8 reminds us that he is the King of glory. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Jesus is called the King of glory because he alone has the power to redeem us from our sins. No other God that claims to be a God can redeem from our sins. Glory belongs to God, just like water belongs to the seas and ice and snow to the Arctic. Glory belongs to God. There are some synonyms in the New Testament for the glory of God. Brightness, brilliance, majesty, splendor. We sing that song, How Great is Our God. We sing the verse that says, the splendor of the King wrapped in royalty. He wraps himself in light. How great is our God. For in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures evermore. That's the glory of God. When the glory of the Lord is here, things begin to happen. The lame man leap as a deer. Waters will break out in the wilderness and streams into the desert. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come with singing into Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and mourning shall flee away. When Isaiah saw God's glory, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. When Simon Peter felt the glory of God, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Job said, I have heard of thee, I abhor myself, and I repent. When the glory of God was present, people started to change. Things started to happen. When the glory of God is present, sinners tremble. Saints stand in awe. Hearts are moved to conviction. And the church stands in holy reverence. Think of Peter, James, and John trembling on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured before them. And his face shined like the sun. And then later Jesus said, John would write later about Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How about Apostle Paul, struck to the ground, blinded by the glory of the risen Savior? Paul would later testify and says, since I could not see the glory of that light being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus. He couldn't even be in that glory. throughout the Bible, glory and holiness are mentioned together. In Exodus, they said, "And the tabernacle shall be sanctified, made holy by my glory." When the glory of God is in the church, there will be holiness within the people. God's glory produces a transformation in mankind. Just like we sang today, when the rain comes down, things start to change. We change when we get wet. When the glory produces a transformation in our man. When Moses saw the burning bush, he was aware that it was the glory of God. And he was never the same. When Jacob saw the glory of God with angels ascending and descending from the heaven on a ladder, he was never the same. My prayer is, God, show us your glory. Transform us. Never let us be the same. Because God's glory will open our eyes to the splendor and the majesty of him. So we're going to go back now to Isaiah 43. As we said, they were going through terrible things. They were people chosen by God, led through the wilderness. They were conquered. They had to know. But the biggest question they had for God was, can we depend on you, God? And the heart of God's answer came in verse 7. He said, this statement tells us yes, because God has created. I have created you for my glory so we can fully depend on God to be at work in our lives, even when the bottom is dropped out and everything seems to be going wrong. He's the glory. We can depend on God because he's our Redeemer. In verse 1, he says, I have called you by your name. The Lord knows you by name. I have a weird name, and he calls me by my name. He knows all about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. God knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows your past. He knows your present and your future. And since God knows you, he also knows what is best for you. We can depend on God because he knows us. We can depend on God because we belong to him. And in verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Yeah, we might have to go through some deep water. We may even have to walk through the fire. But we have that promise that Jesus will be right with us to bring us safely through. In verse 4, he says, we can depend on him because he loves us. God says, I have loved you. We should see his love 100 different ways, but the best way is on the cross. That's where we see his love. In Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while yet we were sinners, Christ died for us. We can depend on God because he loves us. We can depend on him because he will gather us together with his people. He says, fear not, I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters. He's with us, and he'll bring people around us to be with us. And then verse 7, I have created everyone who is called by my name for my glory. So be called by his name. Become a Christian. Take on the name of Christ. Open your heart to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. Put your full trust in God of glory. And then put all of your hopes, dreams, and problems in his hands. The reward is that we get to live life without fear. The reward is peace. The reward is understanding that this is God's world and he's in control. It results in joy. Someone in this universe loves me. In fact, the most important person in the universe loves me. The world has a purpose. We have a purpose. We have a destiny. We are valued by our Creator God, and we're cared by him. You know, it's kind of like a father taking a hike with his one-year-old son, like in those one carrier backpack things. That's kind of how Jesus holds us. But in this hike along the way, it starts to rain and pour down. And the dad puts the hood over the little boy, and the little boy pulls it back. And the rain comes down harder, and the boy begins to cry. And the wind is howling, and the rain is pounding, and the thunder explodes, and the light, I had to make it really big, and it explodes, and the lightning flashes around them. And by now, the child is terrified and howling at the top of his lungs. So the father stops, takes his son out of the carrier, holds him close to his chest. He protects his head from the rain as best as he can, and still the child screams in terror. You see, the child only lives in that present moment. He has no idea that eventually the storm will end. As his fear continues to rise, the father then whispers in his ears, "Hey, I love you, buddy. We're going to make it. I know the way home." And over and over again, he speaks the word of assurance into his son's ears. "I love you, buddy. We're going to make it. I know the way home." You know, the storm may be raging in your lives, but the Father is speaking words of assurance to us as he holds us close to his heart. And we can fully surrender our lives to him. Glory to God. For his glory to show up, we must praise him. You see, everything is for God. The trees are here so that God might be glorified. The sun is here so that God might be glorified. A little baby was created so that God can be glorified. Everything is to glorify God. He gave us this day to glorify God. Do you have a job? It's for the glory of God. Do you have a problem or a mountain to cross? It's for the glory of God. When we know everything is for the glory of God, boy, that changes the way we pray. It reduces and simplifies our life. You don't need 110 commandments. We just need, are we praying this for the glory of God? About a year ago, about this time, my youngest grandson was born. And he was 2 weeks old, and his heart rate went up to 230 beats a minute. And they labeled it as Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome. It's after the doctor's names, I guess. They had never seen it in a child so young. And the heart started beating, and they had him hooked up to all the heart monitors. And they had to wait about 9 days to find a medicine because they had only seen it in adults or teenagers. So the pharmacist had to come down and break down the pill to a liquid form to the size of a 2-week baby so they could give him some medicine to keep his heart rate down. So in the meantime, the way they kept his heartbeat down was to put a bag of ice over his face and suffocate him for a few seconds. I was holding little Grant in my arms, and all the bells and whistles went off because he was having an episode with his heart. And the nurse rushed in and put the bag over his face. And, of course, as soon as he gasps for air and goes, they take the ice off. And then he cries and looks at you like, "What did you do to me?" And the whole time, of course, I was praying for him. And I was hugging him and I was holding him tight and putting my hands on his little head. And I was saying, and I didn't know what to say or how to pray, so I just said, "Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God for this little baby. Glory to God." Your attitude toward people is for the glory of God. Your attitude toward your situation is for the glory of God. The moment that Jesus isn't at the center of it all, the glory goes to you instead. And happiness and joy leave. Charles Finney, who is a great revivalist, said, "God has made us so that the harder you try to be happy, the less you will be. And when you forget trying to be happy and just live for the glory of God, then happiness will begin to chase you." We're always thinking the other way. I got to look for happiness. It's right there. Glory to God. The peace and the joy of God come naturally when you keep the right focus that God created all creation. Animals were created for the glory of God. Every river, salmon, tuna, everything created for the glory of God. God put my husband Miles and I together for the glory of God. And as long as we remember that God is going to help our marriage and say glory to God in every situation. You see, when Jesus is at the center, he's going to bless. And then God is going to send his glory to anyone who says, to God be the glory. Does God deserve the glory? We're all here today so that God can be glorified. When you and I worship God, no matter how you do it, you begin to feel a joy stirring in your heart. We're doing what God created us to do. That's what he created us to do. God did not create us to get a job, save money, build a nice house, and retire. Do you think that he sent his son for that? No. He sent his son that we can receive all the glory, so that he can receive all the glory and the praise. All over this city, people use God's name in bad ways. But in this place, we praise his name. We glorify his name. We magnify his name. You see, when the praises go up, his glory comes down. So we just have to say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. I want everyone to stand right now. I wanted us to have a few minutes today, and all we're going to do is give God the glory. We're going to give him the glory for everything. We're going to give him the glory for our jobs. We're going to give him the glory for our family relationships. Give him all the... That's what he created us for. He created us to give him the glory. And the minute we do that, it's simple. His glory comes down. Let's sing this song.